Hi, Ciderville. Rhea here. I wanted you to know before we get started that there are a number of F-bombs being dropped in this particular episode. So be forewarned and secure your space if you need to, especially if there's any kids around who you prefer not to share that language with. In the meanwhile, let's now head to this here episode 186 of Cider Chat.
Rhea, this week's episode is called Just Fucking Fermented Juice. And it gave me an idea that perhaps I, like Krista Scruggs, could have my own hoodie with my own slogan on the back that does not say just fucking fermented juice, but instead says just fucking drink Perry.
I like it, Perry Bear.
Okay. Hang on, Palms. I don't think we're going to co-op somebody else's slogan for our own needs. We'll work on some kind of swag for you, Perry. You just hang tight. And instead, let's go into this episode, which I think you've already brought us into, and get this show on the road, because we got to be packing. We got a lot going on. We're headed back to California this week to get Grandma and bring her home for the summer, so I'm getting ready for that. I'm getting ready for Oakland.
We have it, Rhea. You just keep on moving forward, and let's take it away from here. Perry, I'm going to cue up the music. Are you ready?
Indeed I am, Mr. Quince. Although I am dreaming about that hoodie with the words, just fucking drink Perry. But that just might be me.
Perry?
Just saying, I do like the idea of having a very in-your-palm-face type of message. I think it works, don't you?
I agree, Perry Pear.
Okay, Talking Palms. Let's head in to the main piece of this episode and roll it from there. Mr. Quince, please cue up the music.
Roger that, Rhea.
Welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And though you might not believe it, those are Talking Palms that brought us into this here episode. We had Perry Pear.
Hello, yes, I am Perry Pear, and you should just fucking drink Perry.
Thank you, Perry. And Mr. Quince.
Pleasure.
And the Medlars.
Hello.
Yes, this is Cider Chat, and we have Talking Palms, and they help me out from time to time. They've been really busy out in the orchard. It's growing season in our spot of Ciderville, and they are the supreme coaches out there getting everybody ready for the fall fruiting. Well, they're fruiting now, aren't they?
Well, they certainly are, Rhea. I think you know that about pears.
I know, Perry, but a lot of people tuning into Cider Chat don't get it all, so we try to fill in the gaps.
Indeed.
Anyways, this week we are doing a number of different things. We're going to be doing part two with the Palm Boots Society, not to be mistaken with the Talking Palms, though I do have to say that I really like the fact that they spell palm with a double M, which I guess is kind of considered the French way, and that works for me because the Talking Palms on Cider Chat are also spelled with a double M, too.
We certainly are, Rhea.
Yes, you are, Medlars. And this week, we're going to be sharing that second half from last week's episode where we just cut to the main overview of the I'm going to call it Talking Palms of the Palm Boot Society. And now we're going to go into the featured guests that they had at the Palm Boots Society annual meeting, who was none other than Krista Scruggs of Zaffa Wine. So she was there talking about her work, and then it was going into a Q&A with the Palm Boot Society founders. We'll be getting to that shortly, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Cue in some more music, Mr. Quince.
You got it, Rhea.
Well, Mr. Quince, I didn't quite expect that.
It was Perry, Rhea.
Indeed, it was. I couldn't help myself, Rhea. I'm just in a mood.
Okay, Perry. Enough surprises. Mr. Quince, can you get a handle in that back music room?
I'm on it, Rhea. Perry, move over.
Hey, come on now. No, your Quinces are kind of big, you know.
Okay, Palms, let's settle down in the cider house here. We're going to keep on moving on with some news out and about in Ciderville, okay?
Go right ahead, Rhea.
All right, thank you very much. Where was I? We're going to thank some patrons that just signed up to help support Cider Chat, and one would be Travis, so thank you very much, Travis, and the other person is Kat. And Kat sent me an email, and I'd like to share a little bit of her story to you. She writes, "Hello and greetings from hot and humid Georgia." I bet it is this time of year in late June. She writes a little bit, and then I'm going to go right to her story. She says that she was in England just 2 years ago with her husband, and they were doing the touristy thing, touring cities, enjoying good food and drink around Oxford, and later into Wales. On a side note, she writes, "I enjoy wine and non-bitter beers. Not an IPA fan, but I hadn't tried a cider since having some sugary sweet, strong bow and angry orchards when I was younger. While I was in Oxford, I didn't find local beers or ales to my liking, and wine was a bit more pricey. So then, I tried a cider, and I was so impressed. Every time, there were so many different choices that I don't think I had the same cider the whole time we were in England, but I enjoyed all of them. After getting back to the States, I started looking for ciders and finding some craft ciders I liked and others I didn't. Another thing I got into, besides trying out lots of different ciders, was making my own. I was able to get some apples from my late mother-in-law's unknown variety apple tree, and it was so much fun making cider. I'm excited that the apples are starting to come in, and I expect to be busy pressing and cidering." I think that is the right verb tense here. "I've got a few apple trees planted, and it might be a few years before I have more than a couple of apples, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm going for some southern apples because I'm in USDA Zone 8A, so it'll be a challenge." That is great. And in Georgia, a lot of people don't realize, Kat, that Georgia is a happening scene for apples. And if you listen to that recent episode with James Creek Cider House, that was with Anne Marie and David Thornton, they're all over the southern apples. So, you're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm really excited to hear that you're into cidering. I might call that fermenting cider or just making cider. Cidering was a really cute way to do that. Anyway, she extended an offer that next time I'm in Atlanta, and I'm not sure the next time I'm in Atlanta, it's been a while since I've worked down that way, but to check in and go out and drink some cider. So I'd love to do that. I really appreciate it, Kat. Really appreciate hearing your story and getting to share it with Ciderville. And best of luck on all that you're doing. It sounds like she just graduated and became an attorney, and we definitely need good attorneys out and about in Ciderville. So a tip of the hat to both Kat and Travis for being the newest patrons of Cider Chat, and you too can become a patron too by going to the Cider Chat page at Patreon, spelled Patreon. Next up, we're going to head to the chat with Krista Scruggs. Now, remember, this is part two of the Palm Boot Society annual meeting, and the interview here is Caitlin Brom, who works for Angry Orchard. She's interviewing Krista. Once that conversation ends, then it goes into a Q&A with the Palm Boots founders who are present, and that would be Jenny Dorsey and Janet Daisy Ensing. We're answering questions from the audience. So I think you'll find this informative, especially if you're like thinking about starting an association, what's the workings of that? You know, how do you pull that together when you're kind of like pulling together by without probably any money and just total volunteer? So I think it gives you a good inside look at that. And especially for all of you who have yet to join Palm Boots, hopefully this will entice you and to volunteer your time. You'll hear some of the needs and resources that they're looking at. So without further ado, we're going to head to that meeting next. Again, it's Caitlin Brom interviewing Krista Scruggs of Zaffa Wines. Let me add one more thing in there. You're going to hear her talking a little bit about her time in Vermont. And I don't think it was totally clear, but she's talking about Deidre. I think it's Heekin. She is based in Vermont. She is a winemaker, also works with what a lot of people kind of call Venus cider, where you have cider fermenting on grape skins, or you know, once you press the grapes, you have like a grape pomace cider, apple pomace, yeah, same thing. And then you pull out amazing profiles from that, and that's kind of happening all over the U.S. now. And so that's one of the people that she mentions and one of her mentors. So if, in case you didn't hear that, there's a link in the show notes to Deidre and her website, what she's doing. It's really fascinating. So again, let's head to this chat with Krista Scruggs.
I had the pleasure of being able to spend some time with Krista up in Burlington recently with Jamie, a member of my team. And we had a blast. So we reached out to Krista back in December to ask her to be a part of this. And we're thrilled she said yes. And we're excited to talk to her a little bit more today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I guess I want to say thank you to the Pump. To be the guest speaker at the first annual meeting of Palm Boots is really strange, especially in a room with, for example, Eleanor of Eden, who I'm not worthy. And so it's, and Tom Oliver. It's really strange to be here and speaking and for you guys to embrace me. You know, Apples came out of, me fermenting with apples came out of circumstance, and the community has taken me in and my fermentation, so thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. So you've had quite the amazing journey, and I don't know if everybody knows it. I've read a little bit about it, and we've talked about it, but if you wouldn't mind giving this group a kind of a quick overview of where you started and how you got to where you are now.
I guess I'm originally from California, born and raised in the Central Valley. I've changed my narrative, and you know, now that I'm where I'm at right now, and I sometimes have to reflect what led me here. And my grandfather homesteaded and, you know, farmed, and I think just naturally living in California, being exposed to especially wine, when opportunity presented itself to me in my mid-20s, I'm 34 now, to work to Constellation Brands, which is interesting now, considering my ethos right now. I saw this opportunity and to be a part of that community that tied me into what I felt is the culture, California culture, and seeing it first, wine first, as agricultural product. Granted, working in Constellation Brands was a stark reality that was not necessarily what at least that sector represented, at least for me. And so while working for Constellation Brands for 2 years, it became very clear that I did want to pursue becoming a winemaker, but I knew it didn't look like working behind a desk, that I connect the first starts at the farm and the vineyard or the orchard, and then, you know, then in the cellar. And so after that, I sought out an opportunity to work with, learn how to prune in the state of Washington with a small grower there. And then from there, that led to me setting up stages throughout Italy, France. And it was a stage that I did in the south of France, working with the first organically farmed vineyard in Cahors. Philippe took his father's vineyard in 1984 and converted it to farm organically. And in 1996, he was then completely zero-zero, meaning zero, of course, in the vineyard, zero pesticides or synthetic chemicals, and also in the cellar, just fucking fermented juice. And so,
also, she just made shirts that say that on the back and sweatshirts, so you should definitely get one. They're amazing. She gets stopped constantly.
And then it was very clear for me to seek out people in my own country that represented that ethos. And coincidentally, Deirdre Heekin of La Garagista happened to be in Oakland at a wine fair, Brumaire, and I pulled her aside and told her the long version of what I'm telling you guys right now, and asked her just opportunities to stodge with her for a harvest. And then that led to a job offer to be her assistant winemaker and farmhand. And what we thought would be, I think, for where I'm at right now, would, you know, be 5 years. It then, it now has turned into 2 years that I'm now sitting here talking to you guys. And I attribute, one, the community of Vermont, one, two, being in a mentorship of some of the likes of Deirdre. You know, I stated my intent and purpose, and the community and my fellow mentors giving me an opportunity, including Shaxberry, who I'm now in business with. We have a tasting room together in Burlington. And basically my job was just to pursue what I wanted to do, and apparently I do some things well, and it all led here.
Well, I think that in the time I've spent with you, I've been amazed at kind of your passion for life and for your craft. I think, and you've obviously gotten a lot of recognition lately as well. I'm curious if you can tell us a little bit about like your philosophy and your approach to life and how you keep that balanced in your day-to-day and your free time, your personal time.
I guess I do. Oh my, apparently I have a lot of mottos, and one is that we're all going to die. So
you that's have the truth. Said that before. I heard
we
that.
All are going to die, and I guess I just take life with that perspective, and all jokes aside, it's seizing any opportunity and seeing things as a door to walk through than a door that's stopping me. And that's honestly what led to me working with apples in the first place. I had no idea that when I went to Vermont, I knew I was going to learn how to work with hybrids under Deirdre. And then a circumstance of me, I was found, there's a vineyard, Bannon Vineyard, that I was going to convert. Long story short, that vineyard was attacked by Japanese beetles and I lost that fruit. Then me, Deirdre, Caleb, and another colleague got in a car accident that led to a lawyer having a bunch of apple trees and pears, and that led to, well, I don't have any grapes to work with, I just have apples. And I just wanted to ferment, and then just went from there. So, but I'm saying, but I didn't see that as me just working with apples as fuck. I was like, fuck yeah. And
I mean, yeah. We appreciate it as cider people. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You've been in the limelight a lot lately too. You've been a spokesperson for women, people of color, diversity, also growing and biodynamic farming and all those things. How do you keep your life balanced?
I think my life stays balanced is remembering the intent and purpose and why I'm doing what I'm doing in the first place. I did not know, you know, when I made the decision to leave Conservation Brands to pursue what I'm now doing now with the ethos that I do have, that I would be sitting here speaking in front of, sitting here or being Bon Appetit or Wine Enthusiast or... and I am so grateful to have that, you know, especially the things that I identify. Yeah. And it's being a fermenter and farmer, but knowing that there are not many people who, whether it be a woman, whether it be a queer woman, whether it be a person of color that look like me doing what I'm doing, and with all this press, I see it as a beautiful thing in regards to people could look in a magazine, whether it be a woman or a person of color, and say, hey, I didn't know that people who look like that doing that. And so the balance has been having me surround myself with mentors that and collaborating with people and going to business with people who go through life the same ethos as I do, and being shoulders for each other, and also just remembering that I'm doing this to, not that let that, even though I'm grateful for all those accolades, but just reminding myself that I'm here for a purpose, and that's to farm responsibly and ferment.
And you are going down to Texas after this, aren't you?
I am going to Texas to go finish pruning with my grower there, yeah, on Saturday.
No short amount of travel there. Yeah. With all the stuff that's happened in the past year and over years prior to that, what are kind of some of the biggest challenges and the biggest rewards you've seen in the past couple of years?
The biggest rewards is this, like, you know, and, well, this being able to have control of my narrative, have been able to talk. But most importantly, just, you know, in the last year, I was given opportunity to manage a vineyard that was farmed conventionally for 15 years from inception, and opportunity to manage it, and I successfully converted it to a biodynamic vineyard, which I know there are people, a lot of people doubted that I was able to pull it off, and I did. And from that led to me meeting other farmers on in that particular region of Vermont and Grand Isle, and them seeing my and believing in my intent and purpose, and giving opportunity for me to now have my access to my own land that I can plant and farm my fruit the way that I want to, and homestead, and tie it all back to where it all started. It was from, you know, seeing my grandfather do that, and to honor that and honor my background and my passion. So that's definitely been the best thing that's happened. And the biggest challenge is just, I think just like anything else in life, just finding balance. And that's never going to end, you know, and I'm okay with that and accepting that. But any challenges come my way, for the reward that I have to be able to live my truth and do what I want to do is minuscule, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I've admired, and I think those of us that have followed you have, is how open you are and how you are just yourself. And, I mean, from the slogan on your back of your T-shirt right now to the way you live and farm is really admirable. So
thank you.
Yeah. So recently, you spoke at the Vermont Women's March. It was just a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, and I think it's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, cold probably.
Yes, it was like fucking 5 degrees.
So, good for you,
standing
there
and all the people, and all the ladies and gentlemen that came out there to support that. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, more praise to them to fight the good fight.
Yeah, yeah. I want to read a quote from that, if that's all right. So you said, "What I ask us all to consider as we march arm in arm today and all other days is how we are projecting conceptions of womanhood and femininity, onto our sisters, and whether these projections are lifting them up or tearing them down. I invite you to play an active role in reversing the systematic trend, to no longer engage with this toxic way of being. I invite you to lead with compassion and love, and remember and honor that empowered women empower women." Personally, I get chills when I read that. I think that's amazing. As we sit here for the Palm Boot Society and our first annual meeting, I just want you to touch on that a little bit and what kind of inspired you to make that statement and to talk about that, because I think it's a powerful one.
I think it's important to have uncomfortable conversations if we want to evolve in any aspect in life. It's usually having to face some hard truths and then evolve past it. And it's just of recent, I mean, not just recent, in general as a woman, not denying the fact that we have a lot of conversations about patriarchy and how it's enacted by men, but that's not understanding that patriarchy is systemic, and so it's ingrained in all of us too as women. And we need to, as we can have conversations about how men are treating us, but we also need to look how we're treating each other, especially in industries when we don't have much representation. And that ugly head of patriarchy that's ingrained in even in women comes out when there's not much opportunity, when there's not much representation. So we're tearing each other down to get what we think is just one space, but not realizing that rising tides rise all ships, and that we work together, we can have that space despite what we're facing against, of course, what we know, and homogenized male-dominant industries. Why are we going to fight each other when we already have to fight something else together in these homogenized industries? So it was just a reflection of that, and us to remember that we're all fighting together, and we should be lifting each other up and supporting each other. When we see one of each other rise and do well, we need to champion that. And then when that said person is on the top, we need to also look down and say, how can we be of resource to others and help them out too? So that's what that's rooted in.
That's awesome. Well, I think that ties in nicely to everyone being here for the Palm Boot Society. So thank you so much for that. Do you mind if we open up for questions real quick?
No, yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
If anybody has questions, feel free to raise a hand. We can pass the microphone around.
Hi.
My question is, like, what are some of your go-to ways to support other women in the industry, like day to day? I know that there's a practice of, I forgot what it's called, but it's like when you support something that someone has just said in a meeting, and you just like reiterate that and you support that. So that's one that like I know about, but I'm wondering if you have any other like quick pocket ones that you know come to mind.
Yeah, thank you for the question. If I, as a person of power, have an opportunity to allow space to be occupied by women, I'm going to do that. And so I actually do that within my business. And not that I would never, I have not, I mean, my business partners are Shaxbury, they're all men. And it's not that I'm not, this is not an anti-male, it's, this is pro me, have an opportunity to employ, have an all-female team. When that rarely happens, I'm going to fucking do it until we don't have to do it. Yeah. You're welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
So my question would be, where you're at now, what would you have liked to have been given on this journey? Or what would this person here now have turned around and told you yourself in the beginning of your journey to take advantage of or seek out?
I think what I would have liked, well, that's an interesting question, because I what I've liked in hindsight is what I'm now, through carving my own agency and now doing now, which I think that what I'm about to say is control of my narrative. I think where I'm at now, I'm now working backwards in my narrative, and you know, that this didn't come out of nowhere, that this was an 8-year journey, and that I just didn't pop up in Bon Appetit a wine enthusiast just like that without, and there was an erasure of the work that I did prior to that. And I think I allowed others to control my narrative instead of standing up and saying, no, this is me, this, I can speak for myself. And so, but what I've, but now that I'm at this position and I can, I'm fearless and I can sit up here and speak honestly, be up my authentic self. So I think if I could do anything different is me not being scared to, I've never been scared to be my authentic self, but I think I've been scared to speak up at times, and I wish I would have did that sooner instead of now, but now I get to do it, and I feel like I'm even more empowered to do it, so I'm grateful for learning that lesson now. Did that answer the question? Okay.
Krista, thank you so much. Can we give Krista a huge round of applause, please?
Thank you guys so much. Can I step down now?
Krista is speaking on the Still Cider panel. She's also speaking on the other panel that actually the Palm Boot Society is sponsoring, which I encourage all of you to do attend as well, which is encouraging and embracing diversity within the cider industry. So that will be an amazing, it's Friday? Okay, so I can't keep it all straight anymore, so thank you. Yes. Yeah. So now, just as we move on, this is the half an hour of open Q&A. Please do ask us questions. We want to hear from you guys, and we'll take notes as we go along. But we want to hear what you want, what you need. We'll try and make as much of it work as we can. But we work in a bubble right now, so we're here to hear from you guys. So yes, please go ahead.
So on like a day-to-day basis, what do you guys consume in terms of inputs to improve yourselves, either professionally, just as business people, but also as cider consumers, like email newsletters, magazines? What do you guys consume?
That's a great question. Do you want to start? Do you want me to? You go for it.
So a large part of my job is pretty much continually consuming anything that is new. We are in the age of so much technology, which is both wonderful and daunting. So, you know, things like smartwatches that are continually like ringing on our arms, are both wonderful and maybe not the best thing. So I try to break up my time by, consuming both like searched media. So whether that be seeking out new products, keeping up to date with new cideries that are opening, as well as really consuming personal attention to things. So whether that's, you know, simply creating friendships within the industry or having those conversations that maybe start out as how are you and end up as actually being able to help build each other up. So I think I tend to do a kind of a mixture of both of those things, and consumption of how where we are in the industry is pretty continual for me, because I think that it's really important to be able to not only be up to date, but to, it's very important for me when I speak about something to be able to speak knowledgeably about it. So if I don't know the information, I'm not someone who's going to guess. So I would rather consume this information all the time to be able to keep it fresh and relevant and real in my own brain.
I'm going to move closer to you because I feel weird. Your question was around professional advancement, right, primarily. And I'll just throw out there, like, in, you know, I have kids and I have a farm and I work full time. And so I also personally have to, like, balance it out. I do a lot of yoga. Some of you already know that about me. Like the 6 a.m. class with Christine. And I find that by... For me, continuing to nurture my physical being and my mental health well-being enables me to be most clear and most present. Continually, lots of inputs, reading magazines, the newsletters, you know, definitely tasting ciders. And then I think definitely what Jenny touched on, that part of the recreation of the wheel is that we all can go out and all read the same articles all the time, right? But a lot of us get information in quick snippets, and when a lot of us get information that is summarized and or, you know, people have shared it, so you get a chunk. So people who are trusted, people who are in our community who helped to disseminate some of the information, maybe you get a highlight of what's going to be most relevant versus something that you don't necessarily need to spend the time to go through. I think it's great to have a good balance, and we obviously all can't consume all of the information all the time, and we have to always narrow our scope, you know, depending on what aspect of the cider industry is most relevant to you. It might be that, you know, you're really focused in on, you know, production, or you're really focused in on sales. I also will give a shout out, Emily's sitting right here, NWCA, working in the local community. I'm so super excited to be on the board for the Oregon Cider Week Planning Committee, and I feel like there's a lot of really cool information that comes through those connections, and I feel like we're doing a lot of grassroots organizing, you know, in our neighborhood, in our organization, in our community around cider, and we get to not only meet and bounce off ideas from one another, but then we get to help collaborate with people who maybe wouldn't be in the cider community and bring them in, obviously, as we're trying to promote cider generally and get people on board to enjoy cider.
And it's mostly the women on those.
We lost half our committee last year because they all had babies. We were like, where is everybody? Oh, it's just us. Okay.
The big thing for me is that I am lucky enough to travel a lot, both professionally and personally, and no matter where I am, I find the local breweries, the local cideries. I ask for tours. I ask questions. I will never know everything. And I think that's the best part. And that's why I got into cider. And I used to be in beer as well. That's why I got into this industry. Because I'm never afraid to ask a question because somebody's going to answer it. And they're going to be super happy to answer it. Mm-hmm. And encouraging. And I've run a brewery and a cidery. And I continue to ask questions and learn. And I think that's the best part about this. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I can continue to do, and a lot of people can continue to do, is reach out to people. People are nice. They want to show off their stuff. They want to show off their cider, their beer, their facility, their tap room, and ask questions. If you don't know what point of sale system to use, ask that person. Trust me, they will tell you all the shit that's wrong with it and all the good things about it. Same thing with the canning line. Same thing with the kegs they're using. Anything with the label person. So just ask questions. I think it will save you time, and it will expand your world, and it will just help push you out of your boundaries a little bit. So.
Yeah. Hello. I lost my voice.
Oh, no.
Talking.
You've had a lot of events this week.
I did. First of all, thank you, guys. I have a question about job opportunities, and if anything else besides the resource page is being done by Palm Boots to encourage more employment for women. Mm-hmm. I'm in a position to be able to hire women, and I'd like to encourage it, especially on the production side. So I didn't know if anything else was kind of in planning.
Not currently. It's a conversation that we've had with not only a lot of women, but a lot of men in the industry and a lot of different cideries. You know, we have a resume that got dropped off by two towns that we actually have somewhere.
A position description.
There are some applications available for that at the front counter. Yeah. So this is something we're definitely very interested in and very much working on. But again, we are doing what we can with our free resources. So this is one of those things where we are extremely open as to, you know, what we want as a community, how we want this to look. This is where all of us can get involved.
That's where those comment cards come in handy.
And we will be listening to them. We will be, you know, reaching out for further information. If there is a certain thing you would like to see, and the job opportunities is extremely important because it ties in very closely with education, and that is very definitely the way forward. So any ideas, any other things that you are you may have, if this is something you've already put together for something else, we would love to hear from you.
For now, please post anything that you want and just put it out there. Yeah, we've had a pretty good response. You know, it's a great connection point. Obviously, a lot of qualified ladies are connected to this, and then obviously we can continue to share out, start where we are.
Thank you. Be aware, too, that, you know, utilities for groups like this, in terms of community and so forth, are fine, but you don't have to replicate every resource. To wit, SENA has in its near-term future not only promoting education for producing superior ciders, but also trying to do exactly what you're talking about, which is someone was here talking about offering internships and employment opportunities for those who do that. So leveraging into something like that, rather than, not that anybody's trying to reinvent a wheel here, right, but being aware of that and bringing that would be highly useful too.
Most definitely. And this is why we do things like this. It's just for stuff like this, because that is very important. And we are 100% happy to work with companies who are already doing that. And to, you know, if we can give them this base that we have in order to help, and it helps both sides. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Quick question on that. Are the SENA jobs focused on production?
Currently, the SENA classes are focused on production, but coming shortly are going to be on business, on marketing,
great,
and so forth. And where that goes is going to depend on the general community buying into that. So I think that that is entirely a possibility. But working to expand that, and therefore helps.
Perfect.
Rising tides lift a lot of boats.
Yeah, yep. Agreed.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Hi.
Hi.
Elle Correll from Busky Cider here in Richmond, Virginia. And so I know you guys have done an amazing job putting this together and, like, getting this kicked off. So particularly from an East Coast perspective, but in general, what is it that you need from us? What are things that we can do to help support you guys? Where are the holes?
Filling out these pages is the first and foremost one in my mind.
And being here.
And in here, yeah, and being here is a big part of it. So I think that is a good first starting point. And also being active in the community and being active on those pages. So when people are seeking for help, look in once a week on the page and see if there's something you can offer. I know they don't always pop up on my page, so I do have to go in. I think there's something with Facebook where you can make it so it gives you a little notification anytime anybody posts anything to Palm Boots, which might be a little much, but I'll let you choose that. But I do encourage you to go on, and if somebody's asked a question, if you can offer a resource or you know somebody that can, tag them. So I think that is great. As we begin to, and correct me if I'm wrong or add anything here, but as we begin to look at the local chapters and meetups and things of that sort, please give us feedback. We'll put out kind of like a, this is what we think what the structure should be. But if you guys have different opinions or different regions want to do it differently, like, we're open to that. Again, we're kind of making this up as we go too. So we appreciate the question, but that's a great first place to start.
For sure. The biggest thing we can do is be active. The biggest thing that we can do in terms of being seen, especially if this is something that we're wanting to turn into a nonprofit, activity, showing that there are numerous people who are active in this community. That's the biggest thing that all of us can do, is to even show activity individually one day a week. Be active on there, and you would be surprised how large it can grow and how quickly.
Eleanor.
Join the line. Don't
be sure. I'm loving there's a theme of lines with this meeting. And I'm it's great. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man. There's a cider line, too.
Yeah, the cider line will be next.
Before I make my comment, I just want to point out I'm wearing a bracelet that my daughter gave to me, which says, "The future is female." I want to just make a suggestion in terms of groups that tend to that have a lot of success also tend to have very visible metrics that they're measuring. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's a way that we can report on the things we want to support, like the number of women in by types of position as a percentage. Yeah. Not in, we get good data about who's drinking cider, which is awesome, and knowing more about that is good. But you know, in the cideries themselves, in the trade, how many women CCP people are there? You know, so. And I know there's this thing of like, great idea, so can you start helping with it?
You're available.
I appreciate that. You know, I mean, I think, you know, when we're talking about the member directory, something that we talked about was that also gives us an idea of how many women are different types of work within the cider industry. Because we're not just looking at cider makers here in production. We're looking at marketing and sales and tap rooms. And so I think as we begin to build those things out, we will be able to have more numbers like that. Once we hit 250 people in the Facebook group, then I get we get metrics for it. So if you know like four more or five more people, or if those five people in this room that haven't joined yet can do that, that would be great, because then I know like we can look and see where you all come from and things of that sort. So I think that's it's a great point.
And maybe there's some outreach we can do to cideries in general to get some of that information. The second thing I had was using the Facebook group or maybe some other place to following up on one of the many wonderful things Krista said, celebrate successes and support each other. So every time a woman is in an article, posting that up, every time, you know, a woman on Saturday wins an award or somebody gets a, you know, people, pictures of women who passed the CCP, I mean, all that kind of stuff. That's a, I mean, we all love to see success of people that look like us.
And we don't want to be the only ones posting on this Facebook page. The group,
that's
guys.
Where like, that comes in for sure.
So, I mean, maybe there's like a, maybe there's like the celebration aspect of the page where everybody can go throw stuff up on.
Do you guys want to talk about Fuck Yeah Friday and if we should bring that back?
Yay for celebrating! Thanks, Ellen. You're so amazing. Thanks for being who you are. We can't. No one can. No one can thank you enough.
So we, when we started the group, we did have things like we had a Monday post that did roll call anybody that was new. Wednesdays were Ask and Offer, and Fridays were Fuck Yeah Fridays. So, which, you know, I'm sure we can appreciate, I'll appreciate. So things like that are time consuming, but I think at the very least, are you guys interested in bringing back Fuck Yeah Friday?
Fuck yeah, I think is the right answer there.
Clearly.
And I think that's a great point, so thank you.
Yes, for sure.
Emily. Hello. I've been thinking as I sit through this room, in this room full of wonderful women and a few brave men. Thank you, men, for coming in. I was thinking a lot about the book Lean In that Sheryl Sandberg wrote, 7 years ago or so, CE something for Facebook. And she talks a lot in her book about how women miss out on mentorship opportunities because often the people in power are men, and it sort of looks kind of funny if the men are taking a woman under their wing. And so they often just sort of avoid that. And that there's this sort of imbalance that happens because of that. There are people who are looked over, passed over for mentorship, just keep staying in their position and they're not rising. And it seems like something that we could help with everyone in the room, whether they're men or women, just being more conscious of whether it's formal or informal, mentoring another woman and helping them find that next step. And I think Krista touched on that in her own talk. I don't know how we do it, if it needs to be sort of formalized within the Facebook group or whatnot, but it seems like one of the pathways that could help us all rise in our tide.
Yeah, great point.
Agreed. And I think, again, like, it's all this like things we wish we could, you know, have now. That membership directory, if you know you want to get into production and you're currently in sales, you could search for someone that's in your region by that and reach out to that person and ask them for either mentorship or just to sit down and have a coffee and talk through how they got into it and how the challenges and some tips and tricks. I think that's
for sure
something that would be really strong. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Hey, just giving back on the Fuck You Friday, one of the things I found really good about you was that, you know, it went both ways. Sometimes some people shared some things about what they were challenges were, where they were facing at that, and what they solved that with. And some of those things, which sharing with other people, they hadn't identified as something they needed to address. They just accepted it. Mm-hmm. And they were tumbling over it constantly. And to have somebody else come up with a solution or get past that or accept it was just as empowering as other things that you were being shared as a success, but identifying that and moving forward with it.
Definitely. And I mean, that's kind of why we chose Friday. Was sometimes you just need that on Friday, and that's fine. That's great.
Once in a while, there was encouragement to like crack a cider and share what you were drinking while you have cider.
I was going to say that kind of comes back around. That informal mentoring or more formal mentoring, such a huge thing. I think that is kind of a common theme. Problem solving, how do we solve those problems? And this is also another place where we get that, you know, infusion of like what's new in the industry, because we could post, you know, what are you drinking? What's your Friday drink of celebration?
Right.
Multiple levels.
So this is actually, I just had a thought here while we have all of us here. We're talking about we've talked a lot about starting this directory. Right now are from all over the country. What I think could be the biggest step forward is someone step up from each part and collect the names from the people around you. So if we have people step up, just even if it's in your city, somebody in your city step up, start that directory, because if we all do that, we have a pretty large directory already.
Yeah.
So simple things like that, when we say, what can we do? Let's brainstorm. Let's get these things together and join the Facebook group, and they will be on there.
Yeah, and we can look into ways in which to structure that so that it's consistent and things of that sort for everyone. Yes?
I just had a quick thought.
Okay.
I've done a lot of work on social media, and one thing you can do, if you do like the page, join the page, share it. Yeah. Put it on your own page, share it with friends, because you might have a lot of amateur friends or people that are enthusiasts and they're interested, mm-hmm. and they come and connect, and that builds the numbers, that builds conversations and connections, and all of a sudden,
Jana, do you want to repeat that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you didn't hear, April was talking about if you're enjoying the content and if you're actively engaged, please share the group so that other people who you're connected with will also have that point of contact. That organic mushrooming out, I love that, is a great way for us to grow the community. Thanks, April. That's awesome.
Any other questions?
Any questions, yeah.
Before we kind of close this portion, we do want to thank a few people real quick. So first and foremost, again, to the USACCM and to CiderCon. We wouldn't be here today without them. So
for sure.
They were kind enough to set aside this time and the resources to be able to have this. So please thank Michelle when you see her. She's currently at a board meeting, I believe. So she deserves all the praise and all the thanks for that. To some of our volunteers today, Natalie from Red Jacket Orchards, Ivana from STEM Cider, Melissa from Number 12, thank you for helping setting everything up. To my Angry Orchard team that was here earlier with me to help, Jamie, Kelly, Taylor, Rosalie, and Caitlin, I really appreciate you guys helping out, as I know we do. Krista, thank you again for being here much. We really appreciate it. And again, just to all of you in general, this wouldn't be what it is if you weren't sitting here in this room and being active on the Facebook page. And when we saw a line forming outside, like, there were literally like 20 of us in a room last year being like, what do you guys want to do? this is huge. And we can't thank you enough. And we hope you go out and spread the word about Palm Boots and continue to be active and come talk to us and talk to each other. And if we want to do a raise of hands by region, we can do that before we break.
I wanted to thank Rhea, who is recording this for Cider Chat too. So definitely check it out when it's posted. She's been fantastic to support.
Oh, that was very kind of Jana to make mention of Cider Chat at the end of that presentation. These gals are working really hard. And, you know, last week's episode, I just want to say I'm tired. That's a little bit what's going on for me. This is 186 weeks nonstop of Cider Chat producing a podcast. That's oftentimes way into the evening and bringing it out. And I'm tired. I'm slurring my words. I'm losing my train of thought and floundering a little bit. And so last week, I wanted to just clear up a couple things. One is that I mentioned it. Is a glass ceiling going to break for Cider? What's going to happen? Where are the next steps? I don't have those answers, but I do have faith that it is going to change. So I really want to clarify that. Last week I was like a little Eeyore, mainly just because of my own fatigue and lack of clarity. But I truly believe in that. As a woman, somebody who has been an entrepreneur essentially pretty much most of my adult life, and often working in fields where I am the only female, I know what that's like to kind of be bucking against the norm and standing up and kind of holding your own where you don't really have any mentors or any allies. And it's sometimes like you're speaking a language that nobody understands, and it's rough. So this is why it's really important for women to support each other, which sometimes I have found in business is not what necessarily happens. Sometimes I find more support from men, go figure. So the Pambu Society has a lot to offer in that way to really change that paradigm and help women entrepreneurs really be seen, be heard, and be able to have a voice. So that's important, and I do believe that it's going to change. There's just so many awesome women out there who are really moving and shaking it all up in the best way possible, and with also the support of so many awesome men doing their good work and helping really promote women too, kind of sharing the space. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of apples out there and there's a lot of room for everyone. When I come back, I want to give you a little announcement about Cider Chat, so stay tuned for that as I take a little pause.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the street, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Cider Chat is not only a labor of love, it's kind of like my addiction. Every week, like I can't think of wanting to do anything else in the beginning of the week other than to produce a podcast. And I've been doing that consecutively for 186 weeks. In fact, 2 years ago when I got married, there were podcasts during those weeks. They were kind of pre-recorded, and it's just what I've been doing. But what I'm hearing from my family and also in my own voice and listening to some of the podcasts I'm reviewing is that I have a fatigue factor that's coming in and I need a break. So I'm looking at the summer as a little bit of vacation time. The podcast will not be rolling out every single week so that I could use that time to sit back and take an assessment of Cider Chat on where it's going. It has definitely gone out way into the world. And at the same time, as much as it's gone way out into the world, it isn't really doing everything that I wanted to do. So without really needing to explain more to you, that's a little bit what's going on for me. And so I'm kind of in a head-scratching moment on how to keep on moving that forward. For regular listeners, that will probably feel like a little bit of a bummer because you'll be like, oh, I need my fix. And for all those of who are not regular listeners, well, you got a little bit of catching up because there is over a week of continual listening for you all on Cider. So there's a lot there. What I do want to recommend is one thing I am looking at besides producing the podcast is just to crank up the eCider news and put out little tidbits there, which is kind of easy for me to do. To write an email is like nothing compared to producing a podcast. I mean, producing a podcast is, it's huge. And to do that every week, I impress myself there. I really do. Anyways, without belaboring this point, just stay tuned, Ciderville. All is well. but I need to kind of dial it back. So this episode 186 will be a little bit, and then look for Cider Chat coming up the following week. I have a lot of episodes in the queue. I will be going out to California this coming weekend. I'll be in Oakland talking to some folks there. Then I'll be in Santa Cruz at the Hard Cider Tour. And then I'll be traveling back with my mom back to my spot of Ciderville, which is really the reason, the impetus for getting me out to California is to help escort my mom home. But you know me, when I'm on the road, I can't help but find a glass of cider. So that's a little bit going on for me, and I hope that you start July. Just kick it out there. Kick it out and enjoy all the cider that was made over the winter. And for those listeners who are in Australia and New Zealand and the Southern Hemisphere, Latin America, hang tight. Summer is on its way, and I know that there's some good distilling happening, and the fruit is probably being picked or actually, let me see. I'm trying to think of how it happens right now. I can't remember. I'd have to listen to my chat with Alex Peckham and figure out what they're doing now in New Zealand. But I know around the world, cider is being poured and there's always a glass waiting for you. And I'll be raising a glass to you next week and dearly missing this opportunity to chat with you. But alas, I must step away from the microphone. And,
Oh, Rhea, it's going to be okay. You're just going to drink some fucking Perry with me, and you'll be all right.
Aw, thanks, Perry Pear.
Hang in there, Rhea.
We adore you, Rhea, and you can hang out with us in the Cider House. There's always a wee bit of cider just for you.
Mr. Quinn's Talking Palms... It's going to be tough, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Rhea, but you'll be okay.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, we're just going to roll out of here, and we'll talk to you soon. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!